Hi everyone, welcome to Trail Tales from Trail Runs. It's basically our first one that we've put on through lockdown. We're going to be joined by different guests every week. And this week, we're joined by Mark Innocenti, who is a runner. I want to say ultra runner, endurance runner, but you sort of cover a bit of everything, I think, from seeing your results and what you get up to. So thanks for joining us, Mark.
Pleasure. Background is a bit of everything.
we'll tap into that. I wanted to put these on to inspire runners and give people some motivation. And your track record of running is pretty motivational. I was thinking back. We first met in, I think it was 2018 at Race to the King, which was my first long distance ultra, to be fair. Or maybe actually second. I did it the year before and I went back because I enjoyed it so much on the South Downs Way. And I remember at the finish, I think I met you. We were getting some post ultra food, recovering well. And you'd gone on to win that one. Was that?
Yeah. I think that was my first win, I think, first proper win. So, I was chuffed to bits with that. But a great course and, really, really runnable. They put on great events. Just went really well that day. So, I was chuffed to bits with that.
I mean, I've done that one three times now, and I can't get any higher than higher place than third, which is where I came in the day when I saw you. And I think I've finished third three times. But your time on that one was around 7.5 hours. I think you're a good half an hour clear of me.
7:30 something. Yeah.
What ultra for you was that? Had you done many before that?
I think I'd only been doing probably ultras distances for about a year by then. And I'd done the Stort 30 a couple of times, which is the Bishop Stortford 30 miler along the canal and back, which I really liked. And then I'd done a couple of Centurion races the year before, the North Downs Way 50 and also the Wendover Woods 50. I think I'd placed sort of top 10 in those two.
I think you're being kind, but wasn't North Downs second?
The first time I did it, I think I was seventh.
Oh, wait.
I've done it a couple of times.
Okay.
I think that the second place was later on, so it wasn't too long into my sort of ultra journey, if you like. Hence why I was so sort of chuffed to win it. But it's, no doubt you were pushing me along. So
I don't think I saw you on that day, apart from at the end. To be fair, I don't know about you actually. What's your, when you go into these events? What's your sort of strategy? Do you have a strategy? Because I tend to hang back at the start. I don't like to go off at the front, but I know some people like to go off in the mix at the front and then try and hold on.
I guess my strategy's changed a bit over the years. I sort of started off being quiet. I remember my first ultra, literally waiting on the start line till everyone had gone and just kind of do it, having my own race and getting into it that way and not really knowing what I was doing, and sort of main aim was to survive the day. And as time's gone on, and also particularly with sort of marathon background, I quite like to not lead the race, but certainly sort of be in the mix. And then try and sort of hold my pace throughout rather than you know, going quick or slow at the start, just try and hold a constant pace if I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that makes sense. I'm always intrigued by what people do. So I speak to some people who like to just go off at the front and hold on, and that's their strategy. But yeah, it's interesting to get an insight into that. And I think with the marathon, you definitely have to be a bit more sort of consistent. If you're aiming for a time, it's got to be a lot more paced.
And I think that's, the marathons have really helped me. I lived in London for a few, up until a couple of years ago, and so I did a lot of my training on road and track with a running club, and so I was always used to sort of running on the, you know, quite quick, sort of on the edge of what is your personally possible sort of thing. So I think that kind of set the tone for how I would approach other races. It's 5 years ago, I'd never have thought I would be sitting here now, you know, talking to the likes of you about my running career. I mean, it's just madness.
I mean, I was gonna ask you, what's your preferred, because a lot of what you aim for and do now is obviously trail endurance, it seems to be anyway. I know you like to throw a marathon in, but you've got an impressive 5k PB. I was having a look, it's around 16 minutes, 33 minutes for 10k, and then half marathon 2:31, is that your PB, I think?
Berlin, yeah.
So what do you prefer? Do you prefer the kind of road fast events, the shorter distance, or is now the focus on the trail and the ultra?
There's definitely still a place in my heart for the marathon, and I think some of my sort of biggest breakthroughs in terms of time have been for the marathon. I remember sort of, I originally did my first marathon in 2003 at London, and I wasn't really a runner back then, and I think I did 3:15, and at the time I thought, wow, that, you know, I'll never beat that in a million years, and then didn't run for years after that, and not till sort of, you know, well after university and into sort of working life that a friend of mine persuaded me to do an ultra with him in Brazil, surprise it or not, it just snowballed from there, really.
What in Brazil?
The very first ultra I did was a 5-day multi-stage race in the Amazon rainforest.
And bring yourself in at the deep end.
I guess, you know, it was a very, very good friend of mine who persuaded me to do it. He was doing it as well. And so sort of, I don't know, all my trust was in him. He's sort of military background. And so I was quite confident that, you know, he could look after me. and we flew out to Brazil. It was a bit of a holiday as well, but ended up being the first Brit over the line. Over the 5 days, and sort of just massive surprise, and such an adventure as well.
What was the total distance on that one?
It was about 170 miles in the jungle, which is pretty brutal. So it was about, an average was about a marathon a day.
Wow.
For 5 days, but you're running on, you know, sand and pretty grubby soil, and yeah, it's pretty technical bits.
That's crazy, like doing that for your first ultra off. And have you done many marathons at that point?
No, I literally had done one in 2003, which was when I was like at uni. Yeah, it was just, yeah, baptism of fire, really.
Did you train properly for it?
Sorry?
Did you train properly for it?
I did. I wasn't connected to a running club. I was sort of, you know, reading about it and sort of training as best as I thought I could on my own, kind of thing. And I was living in London, so a lot of my training was tarmac. You know, Primrose Hill was about as much elevation as I got.
Nice.
And I did what I could, but it wasn't until probably a couple of years later when I actually joined a running club and started doing ultras that you know my time started really coming down, and I put some proper focus to it, really.
What was the switch in terms of, you know, the performance side of it and seeing those times come down in terms of training?
In terms of training, I think the best thing I ever did was join a running club. And it was, you know, I religiously went to the sessions, particularly the intervals on a Tuesday night. You know, every Tuesday it was intervals. Lots of time on the track, and sort of started running probably more days of the week than I had done before. You know, doing a run commute. And sort of just slotting running into my day wherever I could, and just building up the mileage that way.
What would you say your sort of average training week is? Building up for an event, perhaps.
I guess in my sort of one of the big myths in running is that you have to put in, you know, week after week after week of 100 miles a week, and I don't think I've done 100 miles, and that was a challenge. I think a lot of my sort of training will be at the sort of 50 to 60 miles a week sort of range, but there's a lot of variety in that, so I'll do a lot of focus sessions, you know, two or three times a week I'll be putting in some speed or you know, working the heart rate a bit, whether that's hills or intervals or fartlek or whatever it might be. So running club and then definitely speed work. That's really, you know, pushed me.
Yes, it's. I always find it interesting because I follow you on Strava, and I always notice that your weeks are not like massively high volume, which is something like last year I was putting in a lot of miles, really, just because of the way that I like to train and the sort of sessions that I do. But I find it quite interesting because I noticed that you're not quite so high in volume, but you're still doing a lot of different sessions. Cool to get an insight into that.
Yeah, it's for me, it's consistency. So although I'm not doing, you know, your 80, 90 miles a week, I'm doing, you know, a solid, I don't know, 8-10 weeks before a race where I'm doing consistently 50, 60 miles a week with two or three speed sessions each week.
Yeah.
And trying to run at the pace that I want to run at in the race. It kind of works for me, really. You see a lot of people running hot, really high mileage and you know, maybe getting a niggle or not having a good race because they're tired or don't know. I find that 60 mile, you know, I might peak at 70 miles for a couple of weeks, but that sort of 55 to 65 miles a week is enough for me.
That's cool. Have you had many injuries? I'm always intrigued.
I guess when I was starting out, I had a few niggles. I had an ITB issue in the lead up to my first ultra. And I've had the odd calf strain here and there. But recent years, actually, touch wood. I guess maybe it's because of the not so massive mileage, but I guess I'm a bit more conditioned to it now. But no, touch wood, I've been all right. Although saying that, I did fall flat on my face the other week in the woods and cracked my ribs. So so it's completely innocuous fall, but there we go.
Yeah, it's always those ones. I face planted it last week. We had some snow, just going around the corner. Absolutely, just took a tumble, smashed up my phone screen, like, you know, as you do. It's just one of those things. But I think I don't know. I think as you run more trails, you take more tumbles because you're always like hitting a tree root or a rock or I don't know. You're up and down some sort of mud and just sliding around.
Yeah, it's really slippy about. It's easy to go over.
How have you been finding the training in the sort of recent mud and conditions? Like, how do you keep yourself motivated through the winter?
It's tough. The last couple of years, I've had a sort of a race in January, February, which for me, mentally, having a race, you know, 8-10 weeks away, really does sort of kick me into gear. Without that, I do struggle. Again, this year, I had set a race up at the end of February, which has just been pushed back to August. Having put in the initial hard yards, it's been pushed out. I'm having a bit more of a chilled week, working out what I want to do next.
Yeah.
But still sort of enjoying my running, but just perhaps not stressing myself out too much.
Yeah, I think especially at the moment with no races, you just have to just enjoy it and take the pressure off a bit. That's certainly what I've been trying to do with my own running. I always put a lot, like if I'm training, I don't know about you, but I put a lot of pressure on myself, trying to hit all the right sessions. And now, my next race isn't until July. I don't know about you. And whether that goes ahead, who knows? Have you lined up this year?
I'm meant to have a track 100 in April.
Is that the Centurion one?
Yeah. Never done an ultra or anything on the track really, apart from interval sessions. So that'd be an interesting one if it does go ahead.
I can't get my head around that. So how many laps of the track is that?
Oh God, you know what? I don't even know.
Close, isn't it?
You've
got to be mentally prepared for that as well as physically prepared.
Yeah.
Have you even thought about what you'd even think about just going round and round?
No, and I only did my first 100 miler, you know, last year in October.
Yeah.
The autumn 100. So, you know, leading up to that, I was even thinking, you know, a trail 100 is pretty out there for me. I've done a lot of 50s, never really gone above that. So 6 months later, you know, I've signed myself up for 100 on the track.
Dedication.
I guess, I don't know, with the whole COVID thing, it's quite a small event, and Centurion have put on a few events, you know, in and out of lockdown, managed to get a few on. So I thought, well, you know, if it's a small event and it's Centurion, it might happen. So I'll just put my eggs in that basket and I'll give it a go. We'll see. Fingers crossed it goes ahead.
I'll keep my eye on that. I'm intrigued by those track ones. I'm just not sure I could do it personally. Hats off to anyone that can. And just let's tap into that. So your first 100 was last year, the autumn 100. Which I know well, because I did it the year before. 4 out and back, 25 mile legs, and you only went and took the win on your first one. What? How was that?
It's yeah. I mean, like I said before, my first 100, so I went into it a bit of trepidation, not really sure, you know, particularly the second half, how it was going to go. Again, what with the COVID stuff going on, it was a rolling start. So I was given a half an hour window to go off, which was the first half an hour of the day. So I knew sort of I was in the top few, but you never really know. You never really knew who you were, where you were, and until I was in the lead, you know, by a distance. No, it went really well. As you know, the course is really runnable, so half of it is along the Thames path, and half of it is a bit more rolling. I had a really good training block in the lead up to it, just everything sort of went well. Nutrition went well, which doesn't normally do for me, and I can't complain. It's one of the races, not many races that long go that well. I did get lost a couple of times, slightly missed a couple of turns, but other than that, no, it went super well. So again, surprised myself.
Yeah, no, well done on that. Was it just under 15 hours, 14:44?
Yeah.
I think I saw, yeah. Which is impressive. Because especially that time of year, being autumn, October time, can be super muddy on that course as well. Did you see the weather a bit?
It was a bit slippy, particularly along the towpath. And then you've got the third section, which is up and out to Chain Hill,
yeah.
Which is kind of a little bit uphill and a bit exposed on that sort of ridge line. It did start to rain on that section. So coming back in the dark, back into the end of the third leg, in the pouring rain was interesting. And then I picked up my crew member, which cheered me up and managed to push me through to the end. But
nice.
I didn't really know what to expect, but I think it might be hundreds might be another thing to do. I don't know.
Oh, it sounds like you've got another one lined up, and that one went pretty well. You pretty much led that from the start, from what I could see.
There was I think three or four of us on leg one. When I started, I didn't know how many people had already gone off, because we started in the dark, finished in the dark. And then coming into the checkpoint after leg one, I think all the front three or four were all sort of in and out pretty much at the same time. So by then, I then knew that, you know, there was just us four, really. And that second leg is quite flat and quick. So I just managed to ease myself away. But and then of course, you know, you're looking over your shoulder from then on and you're not really sure what's going on.
I was going to say, what's the mindset when you're up at the front?
It's tricky. I found myself sort of getting to a checkpoint and then just noting when I'd got there on my watch, and then because the legs were there and back, so on the turn you just remember what time you were there, and then you sort of, as soon as you pass the guy behind you on the way back, you know that, you know, oh, so if it was 5 minutes then you know you're ahead by 10.
That's what you did,
which helped, but it's tough. So yeah, some of the aid stations were spread out. So, you know, you're on your own for, I don't know, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
on an exposed ridge line like that, it's lots of thoughts going through your head.
What keeps you going to the end?
God, just knowing that you've put the training in, and this is, you know, this is the day that you've been thinking about for the last 3 months, and just trying to eat, trying to drink sensibly, and not, you know, so you're not bonking, and then just keep going, really.
What does nutrition look like for you on an ultra? I'm always intrigued because I find it really hard with like the gels and, you know, a lot of the sort of energy products. What sort of things keep you going?
It is really hard, and I think I'm still learning on that front. I think, yeah, gels are fine for a bit. And I think, you know, up to about a marathon distance, you can get away with gels. And then anything beyond that, I think you need something else. Autum 100, again, I wasn't sure how my body was going to react sort of in the second half. And I sort of went from sort of sweet stuff in the beginning to a lot of fruit in the middle, just anything that was sort of would slip down nice and easy, wouldn't unsettle the stomach. And then towards the end, definitely salty stuff. Grabbing some crisps at the last aid station. And then lots of sort of sports drinks and Morton, Tailwind, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Get the electrolytes in. Do you ever get it when you get to an aid station and they're so good on ultras, they're trying to feed you? And I'm just like sat there going, I really can't, like, I do not feel like eating anything. And they're like, do you want some cake? Do you want some chocolate? Do you want this? Do you want that? And I'm like, no, I don't want anything right now. It's hard. They're brilliant. The supporters and the people that run the checkpoints, I find on any of those ultra events, are just so encouraging and motivating. Yeah.
They really are. And they do anything, you know, anything for you. It's brilliant. But yeah, certainly sort of little and often for me is the way.
On the Autumn 100, did you get to experience the Reading nightlife? I don't know what it was like in this COVID, but
that last leg to Reading and back in the dark. It's a Saturday night, and a few interesting characters along the canal there.
I was going to say that was one of my highlights running out. I met some very interesting people just illuminated by my head torch as I was running past them. It's a good route though. I do enjoy it down there. First 100 mile trail race. Are you thinking of any other 100 trails or just the trail?
I think I will. It's so difficult at the moment, isn't it, to plan anything. The end of the year, I'm down to do the Chiltern Wonderland 50.
Nice.
But then other races have now been moved to around the similar time as well. So it's going to be I don't know, I think I'm going to have to pick and choose if stuff starts opening up sort of in the autumn time. I might have to drop one or two of the races that I thought I might have done. So we'll see how things pan out. But yeah, it's just about keeping motivated at the moment.
Last year you did manage to get in a couple of challenges. Am I right in thinking you did the Yorkshire Three Peaks? Was that last year?
Yeah, so I my wife's family live up in Leeds, so one weekend we were up there and I took a day off and just drove out to the Yorkshire Dales and gave the Yorkshire Three Peaks a go.
Nice.
Just on my own, just a bit of a challenge. And that's great. Just that sort of that time to yourself you can do occasionally where, you know, you can push it. and do something new. I've never run the Dales before, so yeah, no, it's great up there.
Yeah, I've not. It's on my to-do list, actually. I'd like to do the Yorkshire Three Peaks. It's just so many things, I think. What's on the bucket list for you?
I've still got an urge to beat my marathon PB.
Really?
I'm so close to that 2:30, and I just... Yeah, I definitely need to give that a go at some point.
Which course would you target for it?
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? I have got a place at Brighton in September. It's not normally in September, but they've moved it to September. Yeah. So there's that at the back of my mind. But it's around the same time as the Chiltern Wonderland, so... Yeah, I'm undecided, but yeah, so I could possibly do that, or maybe London, at some point. We'll see, but you know, I'm now getting older, you know, so I want to do it before I start slowing down.
You're not showing any signs of slowing down, that's for sure. What about the mountains as well? You've done the Dragon's Back.
Yeah, did the Dragon's Back, which was very much out of my comfort zone, really. Not from the mountains, haven't run in the mountains a lot. It was just a massive adventure, which I did with, I knew a lot of people doing it. And so sort of went along for the ride and loved it. Although, having said that, I don't think the marathons are my strong point, but the such a great event.
So just for anyone watching that doesn't know,
it starts in Snowdonia, in Conwy in North Wales, and it works its way all the way down, down through Snowdonia, down through the Black Mountains, over 5 days.
And what's the distance to that one?
It's 170 miles or so.
Nice.
Over 5 days. Yeah, they've now extended it again, and they now put a sixth day on. It ends up in Cardiff. Yeah. So I know my coach Marcus Scottney, he's won the event before, and now he's seen the sixth day on it. He's very tempted to go back and do it.
Go and do the new version. I think that's just a trait of runners, isn't it? I think anyone that likes competing and taking on different events, you see a different variation, you want to go and do it. I mean, the Dragon's Back looks awesome. And then, so you all start at the same time every day?
Yeah, so you're clocked in and out the same time every day. So you can start when you like. There is a cutoff, so you tend to want to get out and back for resting in the evening. Just an amazing event in amazing scenery, a sort of real sort of, I don't know, one-off event, spectacular really. The camaraderie along the way is just immense. It's something that I'll remember for a long, long time. So,
I mean, I've seen the videos and photos, and the terrain looks epic. You're scrambling up like rocks, rocky ridges, mountains.
It's something else. The bits of it, you're on all fours, you know, with sheer drops on both sides, and clambering over huge boulders, you know, the size of, you know. 4 foot boulders, and you know, feeling like you're going to fall off. Five days of that back to back is pretty brutal. There's quite a big dropout rate, particularly on days one and two, which is the most technical days, because those 2 days, really technical. You're on some pretty hairy ridge lines pretty much the whole way.
I mean, What's your recovery time like from an event like that?
I honestly, that first week after I got back, I don't think I really ran much at all. Just because your legs are taking such a pounding, and it's not, well, certainly for me, I'm not conditioned to run in the mountains like that. So I found it pretty tough on the body. It was quite slow to come back from that, I have to say.
And how do you train for something like that? I know you just said you're not conditioned to run in the mountains. You were living in London at the time, were you?
I was at the time, pretty central London. And so again, Hampstead Heath was my hills, which not ideal. I mean, I did get over there a couple of times to recce the route, but nowhere near as much as I should have. Having a young family and stuff, it was difficult. And it's a 5-hour drive away, so it's pretty remote. I was trying to do sort of hill repeats wherever I could. And I was getting good mileage in, but I just wasn't getting the sort of elevation that is probably required to do something like that.
It's hard. I know from experience. I live in probably one of the flattest parts of the UK, and I like to do races in the Lake District and other places, and just going out and searching for as much elevation as you can find is tough work. It makes the training hard. Would you go back and do the Dragon's Back again?
I think maybe, but I think I probably have more success at the runnable stuff, and that's definitely where I'm more comfortable. While I'm not slowing down, I think maybe might be wise to focus on the runnable stuff and see what I can achieve. And then maybe come back to stuff like that when later on. And also, at the moment, with a young family and stuff, it's good to do races that I can get to and from, in a day. It's not very often I can get away with being away for a week. So
it's a big commitment. Five or six days. Massive commitment. And last year as well, you went and had a stab at the Paddy Buckley. Was that on the to-do list for a while?
No. It was a couple of friends had planned to do it, and because it was locked down, no races were on. I needed a bit of a goal and a focus, and sort of they said come along. So when was that? That was August. Typically we got there and it was the hottest day of the year. It was lovely for the first sort of 5 hours. But once he got to that heat of the day, it was pretty hard work. The technical terrain is bad enough, let alone when it's 25 degrees as well.
The Paddy Buckley is how many peaks?
It's you've got me now. 50 something. It's about 53 miles.
Starts and finishes in I can't even remember.
Again, we set off as a three, and probably having been training for flat stuff during the year and then COVID and whatever, I didn't have any hill running in my legs. It was an amazing adventure. And again, the scenery out there is just something else. I mean, you know, amazing day out. I didn't quite finish on the day, but definitely something I'll want to go back to.
I mean, it's one of the big three rounds, isn't it, in the UK? I think it's one that a lot of people aspire to do. And I think with these like rounds and these challenges, you know, they can go either way, can't they? It depends on, I don't know if you find this, but with ultra running, you're out there for so long. There are so many factors that can come in and affect it, like nutrition, weather, the terrain. You know, it's just so many things that can affect the outcome of the day. I mean, do you find that when you take on these challenges?
Massively. Yeah, particularly with something like that, when it's a little bit out of my comfort zone. I don't think I'm properly suited to serious hills, which, you know, every peak out there, as you know from your Bob Graham, you know, they're serious hills.
Yeah, they're not easy. I think to go at it with any like competitive edge, you've got to be training in them day in, day out, haven't you? You can't just dabble.
Yeah.
Do you fancy doing the Bob Graham or?
Potentially. I don't know. I've never run in the lakes. I've never been up there. One day. But again, I think the more runnable stuff is definitely up my street more.
What's 2021 got in store for you? You got many plans?
I was down to do the Gloucester 50K in February, but that's been moved. And then the Track 100 in April with Centurion. And then a bit of a gap over the summer. But then because races have been sort of postponed to August and September now, I've got a bit of a grouping of races. I think so. The Gloucester 50 will be back on in August. Chiltern Wonderland, Brighton Marathon, they're all grouped together. And then I haven't booked beyond that, just because I just want to see how things pan out. I've been looking at the FKT website just to see if, you know, there's anything a bit local that I can maybe give a crack. I live close to the Ridgeway National Trail, so potentially at some point give that a go.
What's the total distance on that? It's about
85. But I mean, at the moment it's just too boggy, so it would be it would be a massive effort to do at the moment, but so I think I need to sort out, you know, something like 85 miles, you need someone sort of crewing you a bit.
You don't have to get unsupported then?
Well, I guess I could, but
it's a long day out on your own.
And you're going to have to start in the dark, finish in the dark. And also, you know, it's one way, so you'd have to think about how you get home and stuff. I think maybe it's one for when it's a bit lighter and a bit drier, and I can attack it a bit more. Also there's the Aylesbury Ring. Fairly near me. It's not a very well known, you know, route, but it's a circle and it's quite close to me, and that's 53 miles. So that's maybe more manageable under the current circumstances.
Sounds like a good one.
So, So we'll see. I did try and recce it the other day, but in bits of it was so wet, it was almost sort of impassable, really.
Yeah. It's so hard at the moment, like with routes getting flooded and the mud. And I mean, it adds to the challenge, but I mean, if you can't get through part of it, then it defeats the point of trying to do an FKT if you've got to make a massive detour. I like the, I mean, the FKTs came in massively over the last year when people were looking for something else to do. And I do think they're a good way to keep motivated and keep the training going, really. So yeah, I'll keep an eye out when they're, maybe in the spring when it dries out a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, my race that was meant to be in February has not long been moved. So sort of December and January has actually been pretty good training for me. And I was just sort of getting to the peak weeks, really, of my training block. So I'm actually in okay shape. So it's a shame. I keep thinking I should probably give something a crack while I've got some, mileage in my legs. But yeah, it's hard.
I think last year I ended up running like my most miles ever. I don't know how you found it, because I wasn't like racing, and then I wasn't recovering. So I just kept running just to keep the fitness going. And I just didn't stop. How did you clock up a fair bit of training last year?
Yeah, I think I did have my longest year, but not by much. I think early on in the lockdown, when everything was getting cancelled and the diary was completely clear, I did struggle with the motivation a bit. Busy home life and work life and stuff. And without that goal, it was all sort of very sort of easy running and trying to just not think about it too much. So hence why, I needed to put a few goals in the diary, like by the Paddy Buckley and the Yorkshire Three Peaks and stuff, just to give me something to aim at. So I was very lucky that, of course, that the Autumn 100 stayed on, really.
That was perfect, really. Because I had an entry in the South Downs, as you know, which got postponed till November, and then we were in lockdown, and now I've had to postpone it to 2022. So I'll be calling on you as my pacer again for that one when it finally comes around.
Look forward to
it. Yeah, it's crazy though with all the races getting rescheduled and just kind of back to back races now for people. How do you fit the training in around, like, you're working full time, you've got a young family, how do you fit it all in?
Really hard. I have to stick to a routine, and for me that's getting up early and getting out. So I find if I don't get out first thing in the morning, then I'm thinking about my run all day. When I'm going to fit it in, when the kids are going to be, still enough for me to sneak out the door for an hour. So for me, I get up a bit earlier before work and get my run in then. It's difficult at the moment because obviously it's, it's not dark, it's not light till it's 7:30, 8:00. So you're running in the dark on your own mostly. But it's the only way that I can get the mileage in it at this time of year. So,
It's hard. It's a hard balance, isn't it? And I know some people prefer running in the evening, some in the morning. You much more of a morning person, get it?
Yeah, much more morning. And I find, especially with work life, you might be working till 6:00 and then you got to get the kids down. And if they're not playing ball, then, that can drag on. And then by the time you've eaten, it's late and you're tired and it's just not going to happen. So,
I know that feeling.
Yeah. So, definitely, if I've done it in the morning, then it's done, and I'm, you know, I'm a happy man. So
awesome.
Yeah.
We'll wrap up very shortly, but have you got any tips for those wanting to step up to ultras? Maybe people that are kind of have run a marathon and want to push it on a little bit further?
Yeah, I would say, you know, trust the process. For me, the game changer for me was running more consistently, more often. Yes, putting in more mileage, but not stupid amounts more, but just doing it consistently, and working it into your day. You know, I was commuting in London, and I reckon 80% of my mileage was on my run commute.
Right.
So yeah, it's you know, there's, again, I said that earlier, there's the myth about you've got to put in, you know, 10 hours of running a week to get anywhere, but that doesn't sort of sit well with me. Yeah, it's just about consistency and putting some variety in there as well. If you've done a marathon, you'll know that, you know, a bit of speed work does wonders. So definitely keep that variety of sessions in your training block.
And then what about people wanting to switch it up to run on the trails?
Again, similar stuff really. I mean, I found obviously marathon to 30 miles is pretty similar, and then that big jump to 50 miles is probably, you know, that's quite significant. And you know, at that distance, there's more to think about. You know, there's nutrition, probably some strength work.
Yeah.
Depending on you know, the course and how much elevation there is, but start running a few hills. Just get into that mindset of, okay, this is going to be a day out. I am going to get to the finish, and just give it your best.
Yeah. No, it's good to get an insight into, you know, that mindset of, you know, making the jump to ultra or trail running. It's a totally different world. It's cool to kind of see how you've taken it and your progression over the years. Awesome. Thanks very much for joining tonight, Mark, and having a chat about, you know, your running and your journey and some of your awesome results. And I look forward to kind of following what you do over the next year. I'll be keeping an eye on those FKT times as well. The Ridgeway would be a good one to do, I think. It's quite a runnable path as well. So
it is, yeah. It's a great trail, sort of rolling hills.
I know it well from a few races. Thanks very much for joining.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Hopefully we'll catch up at an event at some point. It was a while ago since we last saw each other. Take it easy. And then I'll be back next Saturday night. We're joined by Lauren Gregory, who's a personal trainer, a mum. She's got a running group called Run Like a Girl. She's done the CCC. She's done the Autumn 100 as well. So, if anyone fancies joining us, 8 o'clock next Saturday, back here on Trail Tales with Trail Runs. You can get the details at trailruns.co.uk. Cool. Cheers, Mark. We'll see you soon.
Catch you soon. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.